I've said, no, don't do it. So I'm not going to. But I'm going to say a little bit about baptism. And so if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28, we can read from verse 18. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so the reason why we do baptism, and as church here at Solomon Sports, we do it 3 times a year, basically every 4 months. And so the reason why we do that is because this is a command of the Lord. Jesus very clearly told the church to baptize everybody. Everyone that makes a confession of Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And he says you should baptize them. And then baptism or your Christian life doesn't end here. It really is a beginning of a journey in essence where he says, now you teach them to observe everything that I commanded you. And so now we go about living out the Christian life. And so we have 5 brothers and sisters. This morning we had 3 sisters that shared their testimonies and share their life and how God has touched them. It was a really beautiful time. And I expect even greater because now we have 5. And so compared to 3 that we had this morning. And we're going to have a wonderful time. But I just want to make sure, because I know a lot of people are new, coming from different places, of exactly why we're doing this. Baptism is what they call a sacrament. In other words, this is really a rite of the church to officiate and administer. And part of this sacrament really is dealing with this, really this perfect picture of what our life in God is like. Before we knew Jesus, we were dead in our sins. We repented, we accepted Christ into our lives, and then we were buried with him when we accepted him, and then we are now resurrected with him as Christ is resurrected. And it's a picture of how our lives mirror the life of Christ, but it's also a picture of future glory that we will get to receive when we come to meet Jesus at the last days. And so these brothers and sisters, that's what they're doing here. They're professing their faith. And so today, this service is really requires participation. And so I don't want you to just merely sit and listen. I want you to participate along because I'm going to ask you afterwards if you receive these sisters and brothers in Christ. And when you say amen, what you're saying is, yes, I believe that they are a Christian. And I believe that they're going to live this Christian life out. And I also believe that I'm going to help them as a part of their Christian walk. So when you're agreeing to this, you're agreeing to be the body of Christ as we receive these into our body. Amen? You guys understand? Okay, and so part of why they share their testimonies is so that we can make a judgment on our part. Yes, this is my sister in Christ, or this is my brother in Christ. Now, if you don't believe that they've professed or shared enough about their witness, you can say no. It's okay. It'll be a bit awkward, but you can say no. Almost sounds like kind of a wedding, right? You know, that's why they don't really say that anymore in weddings. Anyone here doesn't believe they should be together? We cut that out, right? And stuff, because hopefully all those issues get taken care of before we get to that place, right? And so they're going to come and share their testimony of how God has changed them and why they want to be baptized. And then I'll ask you to receive them into the body, okay? And so I also want to mention public speaking is one of the most scariest things in the world. If those polls and those stats are correct, people are more afraid of public speaking than dying. And so we have 5 brothers and sisters who are dying right now. And they're about to get up. And so I really want you to encourage them. I want to encourage them, but when they get up, you smile. All right? Don't be like looking like this and like, you know, bless me, I dare you, you know, kind of attitude. But just more when they come, be smiling and receiving. If they say anything even remotely funny, just laugh. Okay? Because it'll make it easier for them to come up. Trust me, it's a very scary thing to be up here on the stage. And so they're going to come up, so one at a time. And so first up is Zenya Chan. Why don't you come?
Hey, P. Sam. My name's Zenya. Yeah, my name's Zenya. Good afternoon. So I'm going to share a little bit of my story. I grew up knowing God. or at least I thought I knew God. He ran hot and cold, and in my experience of him, he was vindictive, cruel, and hypocritical. I believed that he didn't care about me, and certainly a surface examination of my life will reinforce that belief. I thought that I was irrelevant. And, you know, this was kind of reinforced by the way that believers treated me, for a large part, I thought. And I began to build walls around myself because I couldn't trust anyone. And these walls, they kept everyone out, but they also kept me in. And, you know, this might surprise you, but I thought I was normal. And I thought that my life was going well. God thought differently. And people tell me that because I'm a dramatic person, God likes being dramatic. So, he sent a spider. It turns out I'm really allergic to spiders. And my whole left arm was paralyzed from the elbow down. And I was like, okay, what's going on? The doctors didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going on. Everyone else was sort of like, oh, maybe you'll turn into Spider-Man. And so the doctors put me on several different types of medication. None of them worked, and as luck would have it, I was also really allergic to the last medication as well, and I started fainting. And this happened for about 3 weeks. I would faint from morning to night, 8 to 12 times a day. I'd be out for 20 minutes, and my community in Ottawa said, hey, let's pray about it. And I said, okay, that's weird. God's not going to care about me. But, you know, when I started opening up my heart, that's when God showed up, and he healed me of my fainting and healed me of the paralysis in my arm. But I'm really stubborn, so I still didn't believe. Actually, as more bricks in my walls came crashing down, they revealed things that were horrifying in my life. And they sent me staggering to my knees. And through all of this, my community in Ottawa cared for me and showed me who Jesus was. They had faith for me when I couldn't have faith. They loved me when I didn't love. And they hoped for me when I believed that there was no hope. I remember the day that I trusted my life to Jesus. I was at a retreat, and that day I finally realized that I thought I had hit rock bottom, and that I was helpless against my own demons, and that I needed help, that I needed a savior who could rescue me. And I wanted to experience the love my friends just glowed of. My friend Dan, that night at retreat, he said this, and it changed my life. He said, Jesus is calling you into the greatest adventure you will ever know, but you will never know what that is unless you take a risk and trust him. And so that night, I took that leap. And though the year after that was filled with things that sent me again to my knees, I was able to rest secure in the knowledge that Jesus was carrying me through all of it. For the first time, I felt that Jesus had seen me at my worst, and he didn't reject me. Instead, he sat with me in my pain. He cried with me. He loved me. And he gave me a hope for a future past that year, and as well as purpose for my life. Since then, God has not only brought me healing, but also he's just shown me all of who he is. I certainly can't say that I know all of him, but I trust and have enough faith to know that God is good. And of course, he gave me two communities who love me a lot. And by the way, the feeling's mutual. And I'm not saying that once you become a believer, everything becomes fine and dandy. That's not it at all. I still go through hard things. The only thing that's changed between then and now is that I believe with all my heart that God is good all the time. The sucktastic and the awfulness is just temporary. What I have with God right now is forever. And so today I'm declaring that Jesus is the love of my life, and I'm committing to go wherever he leads me. I know with all my heart that through different and difficult circumstances, through good and bad, he is shaping me and burning away all the impurities so that I can be a living story of who he is. And so I'm going to keep seeking after the Lord so that I might dwell in his house for all the days of my life.
Sorry for missing the name. Is it Xenia?
Xenia.
What?
Xenia.
Huh?
Xenia.
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to get her name right. Do you receive Xenia into as your sister in Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Thanks. Amen. This one I know I can say it right for sure. Let's welcome up Marcus Wong.
That's my name.
Good afternoon, Solomon's Porch. My name is Marcus. So just going to share a little bit about my background and my journey. I was actually born in a Christian family. My parents are devout Christians. I've been to Sunday school since the age of 4 or 5. And for the most part, I actually enjoyed Sunday school when it was mainly just activities, games. There were all two moments I was particularly afraid of. One was prayer. Second one was reading scripture. So, you know, pretty essential parts of church. But my reasoning right here is that all the prayer and all the script reading of scripture was actually all in Chinese. And just to clarify once and for all, to all my fellow brothers and sisters here, I am Chinese. All good? All right. So actually, when I was younger, my Chinese skills were quite weak, actually. So I had a lot of trouble reading the scripture, praying in Chinese, but all my other classmates were like, you know, going all at it. And I felt disconnected, and I was like, it was actually class on Sunday. I was worried. So as the Sunday school actually matured more, it was more focused on scripture, more focused on prayer, and I got more and more disinterested, and eventually I just actually stopped going altogether. So there's actually a period of time from almost college to last year where I only went for Christmas because it was a mandatory family tradition, and also occasionally with friends for Sunday service, but that's all I went because I was like, hey, my life seems to be doing well. I don't need God, I'm all right. So what changed? Last year, around spring, three moments happened in my life. One was that I was about to begin a new career during the fall, and I knew that if I was left to my own devices, I might go wild because I am quite competitive, I have ambition, I have pride, and I needed something to center myself. That was something more than just myself. And at that point, and I think during these past 10, 12 years, there was always something in the back of my mind or bottom of my heart where I always knew I should go back to God. But I just didn't have enough incentive to do it. And the second moment was actually my parents. They actually just shared their journey with me. And it turns out that, because in my mind, for the longest time, they always had a perfect Christian, you know, path. It was all smooth sailing. But it turns out they shared with me that the journey, there's some bumps along the road. And that gave me heart. And the third thing was that Audrey also entered my life. So as I remember the first time I went to Conduit House Church, I was sharing my journey. Conduit! I was sharing my journey with Sandro. And Sandro, I was telling Sandro, oh yeah, you know, Audrey, blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, yeah, you know, sometimes we really need a woman to kick us in the behind and, you know, give us that kind of extra push, right? And that's what happened for me. So I actually started going to Solomon's Porch, and I went every Sunday. But at the first few weeks, the whole experience was still more an intellectual journey, where I was like, oh, let's just get over with worship. Let's get straight to the sermon so I can think about it, debate, you know, criticize, whatever. And this all actually came to a head and around last summer, I think, where I was actually sitting on the lobby just outside, and I had this moment where I was not sure whether I wanted to come back in. I was actually thinking about just, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. Maybe I should leave. But the first sermon I ever attended at Solomon's Porch was actually led by Pastor Eugene, and he shared the message of how Elijah told Ahab that he had to go up to Mount Carmel 7 times before God would bring the great rain. And how I interpreted it was that I have to persevere this time around if I'm to receive anything at all. And so I was out there in the lobby, and I was like, okay, I remember that sermon. I'm coming in. I came in. I was sitting somewhere on this side of the hall, and I actually don't remember too much what the message was about, but Pastor Sam shared a story about how he was in a car accident, and the car was spinning across the lanes, and he felt God was with him, protecting him all along the way. And I don't really have a similar experience, but all of a sudden, at that moment, the image of my sister came into my mind. I could feel her, my love for her. It just came crashing in. And I was so close to tearing up at church, but I was like, you know, I'm a stoic Chinese man, I can't do this. So I waited till I left church, and then I started crying. And at that moment, Audrey actually told me, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. And that was a pretty drastic change in my relationship with God, because it wasn't just an intellectual thing. It became a personal thing. It became a spiritual thing. Like, I knew he was there. And since then, he's been very good to me. He's been placing the exact right people at the exact right time when I needed them. So I'll just give you 3 examples. One was, even after that moment, I still had a lot of intellectual questions. And then I attended Growing in Christ class. And lo and behold, my prayer partner was Sean Lee, who's sitting here. And he is one of the smartest guys I actually know. And I had so many theological, philosophical questions that I could just bounce ideas off him. And he could give me at least a debate or give me an answer. So I was very grateful for that. And second is, I was also taking the Experiencing God class. And at the end of each day, you have to write a prayer, and then you have to do something about the prayer. And most of the time what I wrote about was, oh, I should probably get more into the Word. I should learn more about the Word. Lo and behold, at work, we have we have a small group now, a Bible study class called the King's Council. And King's Council! Yeah. And it was just amazing because it was exactly what I wanted, and God just provided. And the third thing is, I also knew in this journey I would need accountability. And this also came through the King's Council, Conduit House Church, and also my prayer partner for Experiencing God, Thaddeus. And God has been just so good about providing the right people for the right time for me. So I'm actually here today because I'm here to define my relationship with Christ. I'm here to commit myself to him because he's always been committed to me. When you're willing to take a step back, you can really see his work all around you all the time. But it's just a matter of whether you're willing to take that step back. And my final point today is just something that my dear friend Bernard shared with me 2 weeks ago at the King's Council. And he was saying that God is always inviting you to join him. No matter how far you stray away from him, you run the other way. When you're ready, you don't need to run all the way back. He comes straight to you. And that's my experience. And thank you for your time today.
Amen. Do you receive Marcus as your brother in Christ? Amen. Next up is Thaddeus. Tien, let's welcome Thaddeus.
Good afternoon, SP. My name is Thaddeus, and this is my story. It's taken me 32 years to get to this very day to get baptized. I was born into a Christian family. Growing up, I attended Sunday school regularly. However, I did it more because my friends were attending rather than wanting to be at church because of God. Obviously, that was not sustainable, and I fell away in high school. It was during my first year of university in Toronto that I started going back to church. How that came about is a story for another day. But in a nutshell, it was my wife, who was my girlfriend then, who brought me back to church, and she wasn't even a believer at that point in time. That was also the time when we had our first experience dealing with Korean missionaries, which may actually explain our affinity towards SP. To elaborate, one day, my wife and I were commenting that we didn't know the Bible very well, and we actually prayed for someone to teach us the Bible. Lo and behold, the next day, I was stopped at the traffic light in the middle of campus by this stern-looking Korean man who asked whether I wanted to study the Bible. That was indeed truly amazing, as God obviously heard our prayer and brought him to us. Turns out, he actually was one of the math professors in our university, and he did Bible study with students during his free time. I ended up studying the Bible with him weekly for the next 2 to 3 years, and that really helped keep my life in check. And I coasted through university unscathed as my relationship with him, with God, was pretty strong. However, if there's one thing about me that's really bad, I'm extremely forgetful and ungrateful. As soon as I started working, I quickly fell away from God. Work started to dominate my life, and I felt I had no time for anything else. Essentially, I got way too self-absorbed, and everything became about me, me, and yes, me. I did continue to attend church occasionally, but I did it more as a tick-in-the-box exercise to give people the impression that I was a good person, rather than wanting to be there because I love God. My return to Christianity started when I came back to Hong Kong and started attending SP 2 years ago. I will explain this part in two halves because the contrasts are pretty great. The only similarity is that both had to do with the corporate fast we have at the beginning of each year. Last year was the first time I had ever done such a fast, and I really felt close to God after. However, it was not sustainable. Just as God mentioned in the parable of the sower, I was like the seed falling on rocky ground, where I immediately received the word with joy, and because I have no root, I ended up lasting only a short time, and when trouble came, I quickly fell away. On the surface, I seemed like I was walking closely with God. I was a really superficial Christian, looking great on the outside, but was pretty rotten on the inside. Sin really engulfed my life and consumed me. Slowly, I became very disinterested in everything. But I thought maybe I was just suffering from midlife crisis, which everyone is meant to go through. Everything in my life started to get affected. I dropped out of many things I signed up for. In the church, I dropped out of the men's ministry, a North Korea mission trip, marketplace ministry, just to name a few. To my family, to my work, to my relationships with friends and others. Let's just say it really wasn't a very fun time. The turning point came when I went back to Singapore towards the end of last year. A good friend of mine actually told me that it was really sad to see that I had lost interest in life. Essentially, he told me not to take myself so seriously, to not be so self-absorbed. He told me I had a lot of responsibilities, and not looking after those responsibilities was being plainly selfish. And if I didn't do anything about it, I would regret it sooner or later. I think God really placed him there to speak to me, because that really served as a wake-up call. That happened right before the fast this year, and I went into the fast with the intention of really wanting breakthrough. I felt close to God during the fast, a lot closer than last year, and that's because I finally gained an understanding of what God intended. I used to think of faith as merely having a relationship between me and God. Everyone else didn't matter. But that's precisely what the enemy wants us to think, because he wants to separate us from our pillars of support so it's easy to attack. Just like how the lions try to single out a zebra from its flock before attacking them. The lions are indeed a lot stronger than the zebras. However, they fear the zebra's strength in numbers. God has been very faithful. He has always been reaching out to me, and he always wants to protect me. He put up this support network in my life, from my house church to friends and colleagues that have served as great accountability partners in keeping me in check. But you know what the funny thing is? It's not because I'm closer to God today that he has done this. He has always been doing this and will continue to do so in the future. God is always at work around us. These people are the same people I had in my life a year ago. And I can think of many other people whom God has put in the various stages of my life to help support me, just that I was too blinded by my self-conceit to notice it. God never meant for us to fight this battle alone. Going back to the parable of the sower, I now feel like the seed falling on good soil. However, good soil also requires people to tender it. And God has graciously put his people in my life to turn the soil, to cut the weeds, in order for me to hear the word and understand it, so that I can produce a crop that is plentiful. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm here today not because I've led an unblemished life. I'm here today because we have a God that's gracious, one who sent his only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Because of his victory over death, we have been forever cleansed of our sinfulness. Even though my sins have been great, God never gave up on me. He continuously reached out to me and even surrounded me with his army of people to protect me from the enemy and to grow spiritually. My life has certainly changed, and I'm starting to enjoy every bit of it. The simple change of prioritizing and putting God first has been the catalyst to change. God wants the best for us, and when we put him first, he takes care of everything else. I'm not going to say my life is going to be smooth and without issues from here on, but with the assurance of an omnipotent God, the victory is certain, and the future definitely looks bright. God loves all of us and longs for a closer relationship with us. And that's why I want to be baptized today, as an expression of my commitment to God, and more importantly, as an act of submission to him. As Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 suggests, we are blessed to be a blessing, and I hope God can use me and my story to touch some of you here as he has used many of his angels to touch me. Thank you.
Amen. Do you receive Thaddeus as your brother in Christ?
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Now let's welcome up Mary Westrate to the stage.
Okay. I apologize in advance if some of this doesn't make a lot of sense. I've been at a wedding last night, very late, so we'll see how this goes. But this week I've had a lot of what? You haven't been baptized yet. For those of you who don't know, I'm a house church leader here. I do Noah's Ark. I work at a Christian school where I teach kids to get baptized. Some of them are here. One of them was baptized here last year, and so it's a little odd that it's taken this long, but when asked the question, would you become a Christian, unlike most, I cannot give a specific date, year, or even a time frame. I was born into a Christian family, one that as far as back as we know have been Christian, with the exception of my mom's mom, who converted from Islam at least three generations ago. I was baptized as an infant, raised in the church, and went to Christian schools my entire life. I've never gone through a stage in life where I didn't believe in God. I have always, as far as memory recalls, have known God as my Father, Jesus as my Savior, and the Holy Spirit as my constant companion, guide, and friend. I have gone through stages where Bedside Baptist with Pastor Sheets, or the parish of the Major Comforter, were my church, otherwise known as my bed. But doubting in the existence of God or not knowing who he was are not part of my testimony. I do not say that I have had a perfect life or that I reflect Christ each moment of each day. I have struggled with pain, fear, and anger, placing myself before others in Christ. These have been struggles that I have had to learn how to bring Christ into, allowing him to take my yoke and casting my cares onto him. In Matthew 11, 28-30, it is said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I would say that I was truly blessed to live in a home where Christ was the center, where my mom taught us who he was, but always wanting us to make him our own. Each of us was given the guidance and then a push to make Jesus our Savior and not living a faith that was hers but ours. So the question I get is, why have you not been baptized? Not why are you being baptized? You have been a Christian for so long, haven't you already been baptized? Many have assumed that I was, and honestly, that would make sense. And in essence, I have, but today is more about being obedient to God and what He has asked me to do. About 6 years ago, I moved to Hong Kong 7 years ago. About 6 years ago, I was at a baptism service, and the pastor was talking, and God put on my heart that I should be baptized. However, and that wasn't this church, I did not see the need to do this. I thought it was unnecessary. I had been baptized as an infant, and along with close to 30 others of my youth in my church, I made profession of faith 14 years ago this very weekend. I just realized that last night. The real reason I was not obedient to God was that I thought I knew better. I do not suggest thinking that you know better than God, because you don't. I pushed these thoughts aside and continued on my path with God. I cannot say that I have not grown because of my disobedience, because as many of you here know, I have grown. I have grown in ways that I could never have imagined. But every time there was a baptism, I've had the conviction to be baptized. So I started to read the Bible and to get a clear understanding of why I was hearing these convictions. And I wanted to know if it was God's voice, my voice, or another voice trying to convince me to be baptized. When looking at Scripture, it is clear. The early Christians believed, repented, and were baptized. So today, even though it may not have been when God first told me to do this, I choose to be obedient to what God has clearly told me to do, confident that it's God's calling me to do and no one else. In fact, I only decided on Sunday last week that this was going to happen. After somehow P. Eugene heard through the grapevine I was thinking about it, he sent me an email and said, come to class. And I did. So that when I got that email, I think Wednesday or Thursday, I knew it was going to happen, and I just did it. As I said earlier, I have never had a time where I didn't know who God was. However, I can say without a doubt that for most of my life, I did not know who I was in Christ. Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The realization of being a daughter, a child, and a co-heir with Christ would be the most significant transformational shift in thinking in regards to my relationship with God. God has opened my eyes to think to what he thinks of me, how he views me, and that through Christ's death and resurrection, I have been set free. I'm not stuck a sinner. The power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can overcome these sins. I do not need to have the guilt and the shame of the past, but rather know that when God looks at me, as Pastor Sam has said so many times, he sees me through the eyes of Jesus. With this freedom, knowledge, and love, I have been changed. Each day, I have been equipped by God through the Holy Spirit to overcome being of this world. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I do not say that I am perfect, but through Christ I have been redeemed. Each and every day, my life different, new, and changed. So today I get baptized not for salvation or works, but because I've already been saved, because I choose to enter into the new covenant relationship with God that only through Christ has been made possible. I once heard a pastor describe baptism as a line being drawn in the sand, a choice not out of fear, but out of love, that I declare to choose to follow Christ. Baptism is a kiss at a wedding, the public sealing of a covenantal relationship. Therefore, today I publicly confirm that I've already chosen to be part of the plans and desires God has for me, for his world and his body, leaving the old behind and clinging to the one who has overcome death, so that I can, and all of us can live eternally with God as his children, his sons, and his daughters. Last Wednesday, we accidentally sang a song at our house church. It wasn't what was planned. But the words when it was being sung really spoke to me about why I was being baptized today. And they are, all that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaims, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Things in the past, things yet unseen, wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my heart, all of my praise, my heart and my hands, I lift them to you.
Amen. Do you receive Mary as your sister in Christ?
Amen. Thank you.
And Mary is a great Sunday school teacher. You know, Elise said, hey, is Mary teacher going to be baptized today? So yeah. So she came down, and so she's here for you. Right. Aww. Okay. Sorry, you guys sounded nice. I sound like a donkey. I don't know what happened there. But last but not least, let's welcome up Sophia Sheck.
I feel very dizzy. Can I just have that just in case, like the chair?
Oh, chair. Yeah, sure,
just in case.
Okay.
Good afternoon, SP. Because I have a flu today and have a husky voice, so I request PSAM give me a chair just to back me up just in case, and I hope you don't mind, and I hope you like my husky voice today. Yeah, just in case, I will try to stand. And I have a friend who has been dating for her boyfriend for 12 years, and finally he proposed to her last year, and I'm thrilled for her. Congratulations, Cycle. And then I realized I should also do a DTR with my Lord. After all this year, please let me briefly share my journey with you. I began to hear the story of Jesus when I was about 10 years old, living in a village in Hong Kong, where all the missionaries gathered the children together to hear to read the Bible with them. And I was highly motivated because every time we would be given some nice snacks after the Bible studies. I remember my first little prayer to God when I was on the way home after a church gathering. I told God, "God, if you are real, could you please let my daddy not blame me because he's very protective of me all the time." And God answered my prayer when I got home. My dad did not blame me. Praise God. And he only said, "Dinner is ready." So this is how I experienced God answering my prayer for the first time in my life. I went to a Christian fun school for secondary school. All the teachers were Christian, and I felt comfortable to call myself a Christian, but I did not have a close relationship with God. Later, I went to university and met some lifelong friends there. Love you guys, parties. Thank you for coming today. And everything went well, and I stopped going to church because I did not see the need of having God in my life anymore. So much fun in life. And all went well until a guy broke my heart, and at my low point in life, God gently called me back to him again in 2004. You might ask, 8 years from then, and you only getting baptized this year? Because I only learned that we're supposed to get baptized as soon as we convert to Jesus during the baptism class. And my relationship with God has been quite stable and sweet since 2004. In my previous church, and when I read people's beautiful testimony in the brochure, I told God, "God, I'm not ready yet, but one day I will give a testimony and give praise to you in public." July 2011, I woke up one morning. I woke up one morning during summer holiday, and because I'm not a student, by the way, I'm a school teacher. And I found that my mom was cleaning the windows. And she's a very hardworking lady, and she cares for the family so much that she even prepared breakfast for us all the time. So I grabbed a piece of cake, and I told my mom, "You be careful." Then I went back for some more sleep. I forgot how long after, maybe an hour or two, but someone rang the bell. And there were a few policemen at the door. I searched the apartment and did not see my mom. Then I know something really bad had happened. And she... Oh, sorry, guys. She accidentally fell out of the window while she was cleaning the window. And she died. It felt like the end of the world, and all my belief in God collapsed. God, where are you? Where is the Lord that I've been knowing for all these years? My Lord should be both loving and almighty. And if you're missing any of these characteristics, you are not worthy to be my Lord. I could not make sense of what happened, feeling depressed, angry with myself, and hopeless. I decided to quit God. Losing someone you love is painful. But later I found out that the separation from God is even more painful. Still shaking, sorry. In a valley of the shadow of death where I cannot see any light, I felt that God was still there and His love has never left me. He has sent many angels to surround me with love and comfort me. It's just that there was a great and tall wall between He and me that I did not have the strength to climb over. And one day I talked to a friend who's not a Christian. I told her that I'm not sure whether I should still believe in God because it seems that I don't know Him anymore. And her response is simple and amazed me. She said, "That's simple. Why don't you just try to get to know Him again?" And thank you, Tiki. She's not here today, but thank you. Last year in April, I came to SP for the first time in the Lord's sanctuary where everyone is singing and worshiping. And I stood up as well. I told God, my heart just cannot worship you at the moment, but here I am. Here I am. And I can feel that God is comforting me. And He said, "It's okay, I will help you with that." I believe God helps me to restore my relationship with Him by leading me to SP. I initially planned to attend the service once a week and disappear for another 2 or 3, just to make my friends think that I'm attending church again so that they wouldn't worry about me. But people at SP notice your presence and absence. Both Hannah and P-Nate, they both asked me, "Sophia, I haven't seen you in church. Are you still in SP?" Now you guys know my tricks. And my house church members in Madaddy, you guys are so loving and caring. They weep with me and when I cry. And just for your information, our house church gathering every Saturday, 4 o'clock. I still have questions that are not answered, but God is comforting me with His word. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. My wound is not completely healed, but God's promise is healing me." He said, "He will wipe away every tears of our face, and there will be a day there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." And after my mom passed away, I became very indifferent to others' suffering for quite a while, but God has given me His love to love again. Most importantly, God gives me hope and peace. Just something nice to share with you. A few months before the tragedy, I happened to talk to my mom about religion. And I asked her, "Mom, do you believe that Jesus is God?" She answered with a simple faith. She said, "Yes, I believe in the God that you believe. And I sometimes pray for you in the small chapel next to my workplace." Then we held hands and she prayed to God with me. I know I will see my mom again. God gives me hope. And this hope is secured by what my Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. He died for you and our sin on the cross. And whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. My dear friends, I thank you so much for coming today. One of you came all the way from Macau. 2 of you postponed your flight for honeymoon. And many of you are looking forward to my baptism day as much as I do. And I thank you for all your love. And so as a return, I invite you to my baptism, and I even lie to you that it starts at 1:45 just to make sure you have a seat, and now you all have a seat. And God is the best thing I've ever had in my life, and I must share this great gift with you today. in case I forget. And for my brothers and sister who is, if any of you feel weary, hurt, or thinking of giving up on God, I have been there, and I just, my prayer is that you'll continue to cling to Him, because in anything that happened in your life, He wants to either to bless you or make you a blessing to others if you will allow Him. And so I'm ready to get baptized if you guys let me join the family. Thank you.
Wow, praise God, huh? Do you... do you receive Sophia as your sister in Christ? Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Now I know why the staff told me not to preach. Huh? That was the best message I've heard in a long time. So thank you for all five of you today. We're going to go into the water in a moment. This is what I would like us to do together. Is one of the things that we try to do at church is we try to model community as much as possible. So there's going to be a group of people that each at each baptism, and they'll go in the way that they share the testimony, in order of their testimony. And they're going to come in there, and they're going to have a prayer line to pray for them and just really bless them. And then after they get baptized, there's going to be a receiving line as well. You can get together, and you know, in the book of Acts, it says that they baptized them, and they were also filled with the Spirit. And so we just want this time to be an incredible time of blessing for the individual. We want to come. Feel free. Don't let time be any limitation whatsoever. Pray over each one. Prophesy over them. Allow God to speak through you and really cement a lot of things that God is doing in their life right now, and that will propel them into greater things in the future. And so there will be a receiving line. You don't all have to get up, but I know family and friends, be free to take pictures and everything. This is it's church time, but it's our family time as well. And so you don't have to feel bad about doing that or whatnot. And so I guess Zane, you'll be first. And so did I say it wrong again? Oh, why is it X? We'll settle this later. Sorry about this. And so, Xenia is going to come first. And so, you guys are friends. You can come and lay hands on her and bless her. And then we just go down the line, okay? You don't have to come up there if you don't want. Just stretch out your hands. The worship team will be leading us in worship, so you can join along and increase the atmosphere of God by lifting up your voices to the Lord in worship. Okay, amen?
I rise up like the eagle.
Your spirit leads me on in the power of your love. So Lord, I come to you. Lord, I come to you. And let my journey change. Renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. Lord, I come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away.
Dark is true.
great is our God. You see with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps in sand and light, the darkest tries to hide. Trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God. See with me how great is our God. Always see how great. Yeah.
first verse again, Linder.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, how the earth rejoices, how the earth rejoices. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tried to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. Great is our God, see with me how great is our God. Oh, see how great is our God. How great is our God. See. How great, how great is our God. See with me how great is our God. Oh, see how great. Stand and rise, we sing Majesty, just the chorus. Majesty, found. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty-handed, but alive in your hands. See you back, see you back, forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty, forever. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Amen. Can you grab someone's hand next to you? Feel free to go across the aisle. I hope that you were very blessed by the worship and the messages given through their testimonies. I want to give you an opportunity to respond now. And so can I invite you, just everyone close their eyes right now. I know the Holy Spirit's here. You could just feel the presence of God. And at the same time, I know there's many of you here that maybe you've been playing church, or maybe this is your first time in church, but you've never really given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that thought came to your mind, well, if I die today, what's going to happen? This is not meant to bring any fear to us, but this is an opportunity for hope. God loves you. God cares for you. He brought you to this place right here, right now, to hear these wonderful testimonies that God has given you an opportunity to trust Jesus. And this is what I want you to do. I want your eyes closed. And if you, for whatever reason, maybe you've been going to church for a long time, maybe this is your first time, it doesn't really matter. But today, you want to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't know exactly what that's going to lead to, but you're saying, God, I know you enough to say, I want you in my life. If that's what you're feeling, all I want you to do is I want you to squeeze the hand of the person on the left and right of you. Okay, the eyes closed. I just want you to squeeze that hand. And so if you squeeze a hand, you're saying, yeah, P-Sam, I want Jesus in my life. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. We're all going to pray together. And then what I want you to do is, if you now receive that squeeze, this is not a responsibility, but this is a blessing, an opportunity. I want you to come around this person and help them on their journey. A lot of times, you know, in churches, big churches, you lift up your hand and that's about it. But now I want some accountability, that whoever hand that you squeeze, that person on the left and right of you, that person's going to help you. They're going to journey with you through this thing called faith. Does that sound okay? So just squeeze that hand. If you felt that squeeze, then God's telling you, okay, now it's your turn to help disciple this person. Let's pray this together. All of us as a church, especially those that made that profession today. Say, Jesus, I love you with all my heart. Lord, I am a sinner. I've done wrong. But thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins. And now fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I might live out this decision that I've made today. Thank you, God. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you got that squeeze, right, you know what to do. Amen. Let me pray for us today. Father, we thank you. God, we love you. God, we are so enamored, God, with your friends that you brought up here today. And so we ask you to bless them, God. We ask you to draw them to you, Lord. And for many others, God, that made decisions today, Lord, now lead them on this most wonderful of lives, God, the Christian life. Jesus, we know that you're always with them, God. But let them know that they know that they know that they know that you are there. Let experience after experience come alongside of them, God, as they come to your word, God, into your church. Lord, be with the ones that receive that squeeze. Give them a heart to disciple, God, a heart to pray and to help, God, fellow brothers and sisters walk according to your purposes and your ways. We thank you, Lord. Cover this whole time, God, and just continue to speak to us through it, Lord. We bless you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forever, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Won't you hug your neighbor next to you? Say, God bless you. Have a great week this week. If you squeeze or receive that squeeze, you know what to do. Amen. Have a great, great week.